Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic journey through the Bible broadcast. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor, a rabbi, and our quest on this show is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship between our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the awesome opportunity to also welcome the other half of the co-host team that we have here for you, and that's Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. I just want everyone to know I'm just glad to be able to co-host the show with Rabbi John. It's wonderful and a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 63rd show, and we're continuing to answer the question, what does it mean that the love of many has grown cold, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and we will start this off with prayer, as we normally and always do. Father, first of all, thanking you, Father, for forgiving us of sin and the iniquity of a transgression and forgiving our forefathers before us. Father, we thank you that you are the one that causes us to walk in the fullness of your truth and honor you. Father, we ask that this show honors you and that it projects that which is within your very being, not just your mind, but the very heartbeat of what you're desiring for us and how you're desiring for us to walk uprightly with you in right relationship with you and your son, Yahushua. So with that, Father, we ask that you blow upon this broadcast and touch the hearts and the minds of those individuals, Father God, that are listening and who will be listening to this particular broadcast. In Yahushua's name, we pray. Amen. And at this time, I'm going to pass it back over to Evangelist Tanita, and she's going to give you a recap of where we are right now based upon the question that was asked. And then from there, we'll pick it up and continue on with answering the question.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. And so the show is dealing with the question, what does it mean that the love of many has grown cold? And that was based out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. In that, you were letting us know that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life affects our love for Yah. Of course, in this particular show, the 62nd show, you were looking at in more detail the lust of the eyes. And one of the things you were saying was that dealing with the lust of the eyes is the desire for the things that have manifested in this world. When we lose sight of what is in the kingdom, and that's Yah's kingdom, we desire the things of this world. One of the examples you had us to go to was 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, and 2 Kings 7, 9 through 13. And this was dealing with Elisha, that's the one that spelled S-H-A, servant, being taught how to see with his eyes in the kingdom realm. And one of the things you were saying, telling us, is how to keep our own eyes on Yah's kingdom. You had us to read Colossians 3:1, and that was to dealing with prioritizing our vision. We went back to 2 Kings 10, dealing with the lust of the eyes, and you were saying this will open our eyes on how we are to protect. Be protected when we walk in Yah, his love and obedience. Elijah knew by seeing in the spirit the plan of the Syrian king in his bedroom chamber. One of the questions you asked was, how can the king capture the man of Yah who already knew what he was thinking in his bedroom chamber? You were letting us know that fear gripped the servant of Elijah, the lust of the flesh. When when he saw all of the army, the men and the horses in the natural, you were letting us know that faith is an enemy to our emotions, and our emotions is an enemy to our faith. The soul of the servant was blinded by what he saw in this world. So he couldn't see in the kingdom of Yah. It deactivated his will to see in the kingdom. Another example you used was with Yeshua and Jairus. I hope I pronounced that right, Jairus. Jairus' daughter had died, and he asked Yeshua to come and heal his daughter. The woman with the issue of blood took the virtue from Yeshua right before he was going to heal the daughter. The professional mourners were ushering in fear of the obvious and blinded everyone's eyes to the miracles that Yeshua came to give. They had to leave before the miracle took place. Only those that had faith stayed, and it changed the atmosphere. And that's what you were letting us know as we went back to look at Elijah's servant. He could only see those that surrounded them, not those in the kingdom realm, because of his fear. One of the homework assignments you gave us was angels are there to protect, or were there to protect Elijah. And power was given to Elijah to blind the Syrians. You said that which will surround you, Yahuwah already surrounded. And you were letting us know when the guy was seeing the army that surrounded him, Yahuwah's army had already surrounded that army. Once your eyes are open, we have to be obedient to what he says wants us to do. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. And just to clarify one small point pertaining to that homework assignment. The homework assignment was for the individuals listening to this broadcast to begin to jot down, to write down what are their biggest fears or attacks by the enemy, because those particular attacks by the enemy already have angelic hosts assigned to ambush the ambushers. And I'm going to say that again. Those attacks are designed to ambush you and me. They're designed to take us out. They're designed to do it first and foremost in the spirit realm, because they understand that the strength, the power, the anointing that breaks all of the yoke comes from the spirit realm. So if they can get us to react to something in the natural, be it by sight or by word, dealing with a natural situation not happening or coming about in the manner in which you were told that it should or know that it should happen, if you can react, or if the demonic realm can get you to react mentally first and to disengage your faith, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to take your spiritual foot off the accelerator so that the motion that is manifesting in the spirit realm stops. It decreases. The moment that it decreases, then your focus changes to the natural phenomena that the demonic realm is wanting you to visualize and to bring a manifestation to, so that you don't receive the blessings, but even the more you do receive. It's one thing just not to receive the blessings, but it's another thing to not receive the blessings, then also to receive the curses or the punishments instead of those blessings. So it's important that everyone understand that the homework assignment had some very strong credence to it. It had some very strong reality scenarios for you and for me. One of the things that I'm going to share a little tidbit generically of situations that tried to impede my faith. We had recently picked up a piece of property, and we were in the process of, and I still are in the process of trying to get that property marketable and, you know, and rentable and all that, and all of those types of things. But in the process, there was a snag in the documentation. And the snag was not so much anything that any one of us did, be it the buyer or the seller, but the snag came by the mortgage holder that was taking their time fulfilling their obligations to do the paperwork, so much so that they were giving the seller some issues, some real serious issues that could be sueable issues, let me just say it that way. In the process of doing that, we on the other end are, you know, renovating and doing all these other things, you know, hoping that all of this paperwork would just kind of go away because, you know, it kind of sets a bad tone for us as far as making sure that everything was done properly. What began to happen is the enemy began to try to attack my mind and started to give me alternative scenarios, all of them negative, of course. Now, when I say that, I want everyone else to begin to put themselves not so much in my place, but in their own place. Because the adversary, what he does with me, he does with you as well, as far as trying to set these mental ambushes. And one of the best ways to overcome that is through, and most of you that are listening to this have heard me go there, but I want to show you how to utilize it in my own life. And maybe this may be a blessing and a help to you and yours. If Evangelist Sunita can go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. Now, that's a very familiar passage of Scripture that I will pull out and use whenever the enemy is trying to ambush me. And I want you to see, I want you to understand how I use it and then allow the Holy Spirit to begin to guide you into using it in maybe a similar but possibly different way. But at least receiving the impact of this passage of Scripture for us who believe. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. And if you could also read in the Amplified as well, but the King James first and then the Amplified, if you could, please. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have the New King James, and I'll read verses 30 through 31, Proverbs chapter 6. People do not despise a thief. If he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. The Amplified reads, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But if he is found out, he must restore seven times what he stole. He must give the whole substance of his house, if necessary, to meet his fine.
Amen. I look at the thief as the adversary.
Amen.
If I try to despise him, try to talk bad about him, and try to belittle him, that does nothing, absolutely nothing, towards me getting back what belongs to me. It just aggravates and causes more agitation in the spirit realm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when I seek after God's revenge for what the thief has to pay, when I find out that he was the one that set the ambush, like what we were talking about in 2 Kings chapter 6, then I go to the Father. I go to the just judge. I begin to proclaim my case with my lawyer, Yeshua, so that I can receive, not only do I want to win the case, but I want to receive back, not just of what belongs to me at this point. Now we're talking divine increase. Divine increase. And the reason why we're talking divine increase is because in the natural, when you win a case and then cause a countersuit, if you will, to happen because of winning that particular case, not only has the individual that has come against you lost the case, but now they're having to pay restitution. That is what is going to cause a increase for you and a decrease for that individual. And in the process of that transference of wealth, of increase here and decrease there, the individual will begin to realize that they are in a worse situation because of whatever it was they did to you.
Mm-hmm.
And their attitude towards ever trying to do anything of that magnitude again will be definitely impeded by the pain and suffering that they're going through in having to pay you back. This is the exact situation with it that it is with Hasatan, with the devil. When you find the thief, you go to the just judge. When you go to the just judge, you know, according to the spiritual law, that you get seven times what was stolen or even attempted to be stolen. If it's spiritual, it's seven times your peace. Mental, seven times just your whole mental capacity to live in that homicome or that peace or that homeostasis, if you will. So in the process of all of this that happened, which has come to a head and closed out definitely for our good and for the seller's good, now I'm saying to the Lord, okay, I want seven for what the adversary tried to do. It's not a greed issue. I'm not trying to be greedy here. I'm trying to uphold what is a commandment of God, what is a law from Yah, what the judge says is. Because it's the judge that's also trying to teach a lesson to both myself and to the devil. We were meant here more than just to have a relationship with God. We were meant here to also teach a lesson, an eternal lesson, to the devil and the fallen angels, as well as those that have not fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here is learning from this process.
Mm-hmm.
Our desire should be to learn from a positive aspect and not from a negative. In other words, don't allow the negative repercussions to fall upon you and me. But ensure that you do your part to make sure that the positive repercussions happen. In other words, don't settle what the Father says is. If the Father says it seven times, then you find out what that seven times the aggravation is. If it's a monetary thing, put a monetary price on it.
Mm-hmm.
And expect the Father to fulfill that based upon your faith and obedience. As you're obedient to him, and as your faith is not allowing the enemy to settle the debt short of the seven times, then the manifestation will happen. It will happen. And that was a part of the homework assignment. That was what I was trying to get individuals to begin to start exercising for themselves. And one of the other things that are very important within this exercise is when the chaos begins to subside, whether it's quick and expedient or whether it's gradual, you need to make sure, I need to make sure that I, as it decreases in its intensity against me, I need to increase in my faithful desire to have Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31 manifest itself. Don't allow the decrease in attacks by the enemy to law you, your faith, to sleep. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to take a breather. You know, I think most of us know what it feels like when you're under intense pressure over whatever it might be, and then once it subsides, you kind of want to go, oh, wow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to take a breather, you know, go to the rest stop, if you will. But understand it's just a rest stop. Understand you haven't met to the fulfillment of the manifestation or the goal in which you're trying to reach in your destination. So everything that you need to do and be in order to get back spiritually into that vehicle and get back focused and then get back on the spiritual highway or the righteous path, you must do. And you do with a sense of expectation. It is imperative that we understand that sense of expectation has to be there. Okay, he did this. God came in. I was faithful. He told me I would receive 7, so I'm expecting it around every corner. I'm anticipating that it will manifest. I'm not getting into anxiety about it. That's wrong. But I'm anticipating, I'm expecting. So when it manifests, then I embrace it with, yes, I expected this to happen. And not with, oh my God. You know what I mean? Because that shows a bit of doubt and unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
When the Father says what he says, he's going to do what he says. Now, yes, we're still discussing the question about the love of many growing cold. But it's imperative as we study this and as we learn this that we also understand what is just opposed to that negative is the positive. As we're studying this, we should learn how to increase our love and how to allow our love to manifest the way the Father has desired it to be. So that is the reason why this homework is extraordinarily important. Okay? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, and if you'll read, I think it's like verse 6, 7, and 8. And if I'm not mistaken, this is around the time that Elisha, with an SH, is...
Mm-hmm.
being surrounded, because remember we talked about that, and I know that we've talked about it before, but I want to make sure that we make it as clear as possible before we move forward, because it's one thing to teach a parsha or a Bible study or something mm-hmm. like that. It's another thing altogether, which is what we want to accomplish when we begin to impart life lessons that truly work in your life on a regular basis, because that's what it's all about. You can get a Bible study anywhere, but the other is something that is life lessons that we've got to live over and over and over again. All right, if you would, Evangelist Tania.
Okay. And I'm starting at verse 16, right, Rabbi?
Yeah, but let's try verse 8. Let's try verse 8 for just a second.
Oh, verse 8. Okay.
Go ahead and read verse 8.
Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Elias, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed.
Okay, stop for just a second. Stop. Mm-hmm. Stop for just a second. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is where we want to continually apply this. We want to continually apply this life lesson, and that is when situations and circumstances begin to happen, okay, we have to realize right then not to embrace fear.
Amen.
The man of God said, "Fear not." In other words, don't gravitate, don't hold on to, don't accept, don't allow fear to come into your home, spiritually speaking, and renovate your house. The moment the situation happens, fear not. Proverbs even says, don't fear immediate chaos or catastrophe. Don't fear it. In other words, don't grab a hold to the fear that comes with it. Don't grab a hold of it. When I had that situation happen, I had to not grab a hold of the negative scenarios that could play themselves out through that circumstance. What I had to do in order to do that was I had to continue with the plan that I felt that the Father had given me, and continue to work towards fulfilling and finishing and renovating that house. I didn't just play it off like it didn't exist. I mean, we dealt with, you know, the seller and us dealt with the things that we needed to do and gave the informations, paperwork, documentation, so that they could have it, so that they could know that, oh, yeah, we're supposed, it's your turn now to do thus and so with this. But the point is I did not allow it to slow or to totally impede the successful plan that I had in place. This is what the adversary wants us and wants you to have happen. The reason why Elisha was praying was so that the servant could see, because the servant asked the right question. The servant, before the servant got into fear, the servant looked at the situation and said, "Oh no, this is real bad. This is not just bad. This is really bad. This is fatal." But he was like, "What shall we do?" Not, "Okay, I'm at panic mode already. I don't know what you're doing, but I've already lost it." No, don't lose it. Gain it. Find it. That is what our assignment is. And once we found it, once we find the faith to fulfill what the Father wants us to do, then that's when we begin to continue to press in. At that moment is when we press in. And our pressing in is expectance and expectation of the seven times as we fulfill and do what our original plan given from God was to do.
Mm-hmm.
It is now time for us to transition. We ran out of time. And we'll jump right back into this next week. But until then, Evangelist Tanita will give you some information on how to reach us and how to be a blessing to us if this has been a blessing to you and is a blessing to you. Go ahead, Evangelist Tanita.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. And so for those that are listening, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have questions that you would like to be addressed on the show, if you would email us at office@bethesham.org, that is BETHHASHEM.org. The ministry's name is Bethesham Ministries, and we have two websites in which you can research information about us. The first one is www.bethesham.org, and the second one is on Facebook. It is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. If you would like to attend our services, if you would please email us at bethesham.yahoo.com for directions. For those that are more interested in going into a further in-depth study for more Hebraic understanding, we offer classes through Zuhl College. And if you will also email us at office@bethesham.org. The last thing, for those that are interested in being a partner or becoming a partner with us via radio or television, if you would go to our website, which is at Bethesham.org, and click on donate to make contributions for helping out with the show. Thank you, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and Father, right now, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that the homework assignment is a life assignment. We thank you, Father God, that that life assignment is a understanding how to be enriched in relationship with you according to your terms, according to your concepts, and according to your understanding of the way that relationship is strengthened. Because each and every scenario that we run through and run into in this world is designed strategically to build our relationship with you. So, Father, as we go through everything that we go through, we ask you to open our eyes, to allow us to see in the spirit realm and allow us to understand and know that you're there and that there is no reason to fear or to doubt your protection and your and our safety. We give you the praise and glory for that in Yahushua's name. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.